Today's shiur is Daf Dalad, and we're going to begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Just to review the sugya that we began yesterday, Abaya had quoted Rav Nachman as saying that when it comes to Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Mavui, the amud that's used to measure is an amud made up of 5 tefachim. When it comes to Hilchas Klayim, the amud that's used is an amud made up of 6 tefachim. Says Rav Mishmeid Rav Nachman, Kol amud ba'amud ba'shisha. We always use an amud of 6 tefachim. Just what is the difference between the amud used for Sukkah and Mavui versus the amud used for Klayim? Ela halalu soichakois. The amud used for Sukkah Mavoi is a loose amma. We'll explain that in a moment. Valalo Tsevois, where the amma used in Klayim is a tight amma. Soichakois means smile. And when somebody smiles, his mouth is open wider. So it's a larger amma. Atsevois means when his mouth is closed and it's a smaller amma. What is the difference between an amma soichakois and amma atzevois? So the difference is a machloikis. Most mefarshim explain if it's a half an etzpa to a tefach, to an amma. For every amma, the difference between a soichakois and atzevois will be a half an etzpa. Others say it's a half an etzpa per tefach. Some say the difference between soichakois and atzevois is a sixth, and some say it's a quarter. For the purposes of our shiur, we'll say it's a half a etzba for every amma, which is not that significant. Before we go further, there is a fundamental question that the Rishonim address. Yesterday, we learned, as we started the shiur today, that Abaye says we use for Sukkah and Mavui a 5 amma, a 5 tefach amma, and for Klayim we use a 6 tefach amma. And we explained, because we always want to go l'chumrah. So the Gemara asked, if we always want to go l'chumrah, isn't it more of a, there could be a chumrah sometimes by Sukkah and Mavui using a 5 tefach amma, or vice versa, it could be a chumrah by Klayim to use a 5 tefach amma. So the Gemara said, yes, we always go to chumrah, and we're talking about roiv situations. So the Rishonim point out the same question that Gemara asked on Abaye's version of Rav Nachman, the Gemara ought to have asked on Rav's version. Do we say by Mavui and Sukkah that we always follow Soichakos, but that may not always be a chumrah? Do we always say by Klayim that we say Atzevois, but that may always be a chumrah? So some Rishonim say that even though the Gemara didn't go through the whole Shakl V'Tari again, it's self-understood that Rava only meant Soichakos and Atzevois when it will be a chumrah. Other Rishonim, however, disagree. And they say, strictly in Abaye's version of Rav Nachman, do we always follow the chumrah? But when Rava said Soichakos and Atzevois, he meant always. By Mavui, by Sukkah, it's always Soichakos, whether it's a Kula or a Chumrah. By Klayim, it's always Atzevois, whether it's a Kula or a Chumrah. And let's try to understand this Machloikis by understanding a fundamental question and understanding this Sugya. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, when our Gemara has this conversation, this whole issue, if we go with a bigger amma, a smaller amma, what's the Gemara's issue? Is it a shayla of a suffik? Since we don't know what an amma is, how big the amma should be, we should always go l'chumrah? Or is it an issue that Chazal determined that this is the shear? So first of all, on the side of the shayla that it's a suffik, so the Mefarshim should say, how could it be that we're doing it b'tayr suffik and we're being machmer misuffik? One of the areas that we're discussing in our Gemara is Mavli. Mavli is the Issa Drabonon, and we know Suffolk Drabonon Lakula. So that the Mefarshim answer, that this the rule of Suffolk Rabban al Kulu was only said when I have a Suffolk where I have two items in front of me, I don't know what to do, Suffolk Rabban al Kulu. But when the Suffolk is based on Chasor and Yediya, a lack of knowledge, like an Al Gemara, where I don't know what the right shear of an Amma is, that's not called the Suffolk Rabban al Kulu. Other Mepharshim answer that the Suffolk is not a Suffolk in Hilchas Mavui, it's a Suffolk in what is an Amma. And what an Amma is a Shaila and Daraisa, so even though it affects a Drabonan Digger issue, that's not called Suffolk Drabonan, rather that's called a Suffolk Daraisa. So again, we have two ways of learning the Gemara. Is it because Chazal had a Suffolk, and that's why they said always go L'chumra, or is it that Chazal told us, here the Halach is this way, here the Halach is that way? Perhaps that's the Machlaikis HaRishonim. The Rishonim that say that Rava also will say Seicha Kaisan at Seivis only when it's a Chumra. So therefore, if it'll be a Chumra to say at Seivis by Sukkah, they'll say it, because they're always, the whole shot in the Gemara is that we're always going to Chumra. On the other hand, the Rishonim that say that Rava will say Seicha Kais by Sukkah, no matter if it's a Kula or a Chumra, because Chazal determined this is what the Halacha should be, and this is the Halacha whether it's the Kula or the Chumra. What are some nafgaminas between these two approaches to the Gemara? So we'll say three nafgaminas. There are more. One nafgamina is, let's say there'll be another suffix. Besides the suffix of what the Amish should be, there'll be another shaila in halacha. Will we say svek sveka? If it's because it's a suffix, so it'll be an issue of svek sveka, and we know in halacha svek sveka is always lakula. If on the other hand it's because Chazal paskin this way, then it would not be, if there's another suffix, it wouldn't be a svek svek, it would only be one suffix. Another nafkamina is, let's say the shayla is not only by an amma. If there's a shayla, how identify any other measurement, a tefach? If it's because of a suffix and we always want to be l'chumra, so we should be l'chumra in any measurement. If it's because Chazal identified the shiurim and they say, here we want you to use this kind of amma, here we want you to use that kind of an amma, so then that's only by ammas, but not by any other measurement. Another nafkamina will be, let's say in one subject, and we'll explain what we're saying, we have to say two different types of amas. For example, let's say we're building a sukkah and we're relying on height, we're relying on doif and akuma. So by doif and akuma, it's a chumra to say a small amma. And we're also relying that the sukkah is a small sukkah, and we learned yesterday that the sukkah has to have a minimum shear. There it's a chumra to say a bigger amma. So in one sukkah, I'm relying on two different types of amma. So if it's a suffix, I can't, and I'm going l'chumra, I can't besides myself, I can't contradict myself. On the top say one way, and the bottom say another way. But if it's pshat that Chazal said in this halacha, this is what you should do, in this halacha, this is what you should do, so it's not a steer, it's not a contradiction, I'm just following the rules that Chazal established for us. Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in the Braisa, Kol amish amr chachamim ba'amah ba'shisha. Wherever Chazal said we use an amma, it's a six tefach amma, obavad, except shlei mechuvonis. They should not be exactly identical. Bishlam l'rova, so according to Rava, how do we explain this braisa? The braisa is telling us that always use a six tefach amma, however, the difference will be kehecha do have in halo seichikos, halo atzevis, like we just explained. Sometimes we use a Seichkai 6 Tefach Amma, and sometimes we use a Tseva 6 Tefach Amma. Elal Abaya Kasha, but according to Abaya, we don't always use a 6 Tefach Amma. Sometimes we use a 5 Tefach Amma, but this price says we always use a 6 Tefach Amma. Amulch Abaya. And it says Abaya, Emo, you know what this, how to learn Pshat in this Braisa? The Braisa is saying, Amas Klayim. Whenever you're learning about Klayim, use an Amma Bashisha, which works with what he said, because Abai did say that we use by Klayim a six Tefach Amma. Ask the Gemara, you can't say that that's Pshat in Abaya. For Midik Tani Sefer, we learned in the Sefer of Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Amish Omer Chacham Beklayim Ba'amah Bashisha, that all Amish that are used by Klayim is a six Tefach Amma. They shouldn't be precise, they shouldn't be exactly, they should be the bigger six tefach amah. Mechlal, so what does that mean? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that we follow a six tefach amah by klaim. Mechlal the Tanakama, what is the Tanakama speaking about? Kol amas kama, wherever we're using an amah, it should be a six tefach amah. So you can't say the Tanakama is only speaking about klaim, like we want, like Abaye wanted us to say. The Tanakama is ostensibly speaking about all amas, and in all amas he says use a six tefach amah, not a five tefach amah like Abaye said I should use by Mavi and Sukkah. Amlach Abaye. So Abaye now says like this: V'lav mi'ikar Rav Shimon Gamliel de Koykav Asai. Rav Shimon Gamliel and I say the same because we're both saying that by klaim use six tefach, everywhere else don't. And no, damik Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm going to hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Abaye is saying that he's agreeing with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara, Le Abaye v'ad tanaihi. So now, according to Abaye, we have to say this din that Abaye taught us yesterday in the name of Rav Nachman, that we follow by Mavli and Sukkah 5 tefach amah, by Klima 6 tefach amah, tanaihi is a machlokes tanaim. The Tanakama will not agree with that halacha. It'll only be Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that. Le Rava. However, according to Ravel, that says that we always use a six tefach amah. The only difference is it a soichakos or a tzevus, a tight one or a loose one? Milema tanaihi. Must we also say that it's a machlokes tanaim and Ravel will agree with the Tanakama? Or is there a way of having Ravel's psak coordinate with the Rav Shimon Gamliel's psak? Amlach Ravel. So Ravel explains. Rav Shimon Gamliel is not arguing the Tanakam in general. Rav Shimon Gamliel is agreeing, says Rava, that you always use a six tefach amah, like I say. Just what he's saying is, amas klayim lo yitzamtzeim. Don't do the amah that you use by klayim, which is, as usual, a six tefach amah. Don't use a tight one, rather use a loose one. I like to first explain that what Shimon Gamliel is coming to teach us is that we would think that perhaps by a mavui, since it's an issue of a drabonon, we should be able to use a tight, a big amma, even though we'll come out with a kula. That's what Shimon Gamliel is saying. No, only by klaim where it's a chumrah to use. Only by klaim where it's a chumrah to use a tight one, that's when we say it. Nowhere else. Ask the Gemara. If Rav Shimon Gamliel meant only to clarify the Tanakama Shita, but there is no fundamental machloikis, so he's referring back to the six tefach amah. So all he should have said is that one should not be precise by the amah of the klaim. He doesn't have to repeat. Why does he have to repeat those words? Says the Gemara. Laugh. Isn't it what Rav Shimon Gamliel has come to teach us? And to tell us that don't use a six tefach amah by sukkah mavui, use a five tefach amah. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel could not work with Rav's psak. Says the Gemara, Loi, that is not Rav Shimon Gamliel's purpose. Rav Shimon Gamliel's purpose was Lemutei Ami Yisoyv V'Ami Yisoyviv, was to exclude the Ami that was used regarding the base of the Mizbeach and the ledge of the Mizbeach, the Hachitzoin, that those were five Amis, five Tefach Amis. The Ksiv, it says a Pasuk, V'Elam Midas HaMizbeach, these are the dimensions of the Mizbeach, Amos, an amos of am of a tefach, of an am and a tefach, in terms of small five tefach amos, and the way Tosfos and Rashi in the second pshat explain is that these are dimensions which are an am a tefach, and tefach more than the smaller five tefach amos. That means the primary dimensions of the Mizbeach are given in terms of the six tefach amah, whereas the base was not measured in a six tefach amah, it was only measured in a five tefach amah. The cheka amma hama roichik, the base shall be an amma and the width an amma, and we'll explain the halacha in a moment after we say the pasuk. And its border to its edge around shall be a span of a half an amma. The zah gav a mizbeach, and this is tapir mizbeach. So now the Gemara explains. Cheka amma zay yisoid. The base of an amma shall be an amma, that is the base. And that amma was used a 5 tefach amma. Then, the amma roichig zay soiviv. The width of an amma, this refers to the ledge that encircled the mizbeach. That amma, that indentation between the yisoid and the soiviv, which was an amma, was a 6 tefach amma. The gvula el soviv, soviv el akronos, and the border all around, this refers to the horns on top of the mizbeach. And those horns were 5 tefach amma. This teaches the top of the Mizbeach was an Amma. Continues the Gemara. Amrav Chibar Ashi Amarav. Shiurim, the halachas regarding Shiurim, Chatzitzin, which Shiurim means all through halacha, there's always a Shir. Chatzitzin, the halacha that you're not allowed to have anything on you when you go to a mikveh, we'll discuss that more on the beis. Umechitzin, the halacha of how high a partition is considered to be considered a wall. Halach l'mash m'sinai. What the numbers are all halach l'mash m'sinai. Ask the Gemara, shiurim deraisa hu. The halacha of shiurim is a deraisa, diksiv, because the pasuk says, eretz chita usayra. The pasuk describes all of the fruits, the zayim minim, which Eretz Yisrael is blessed with. Vam Rav Chanan, and Rav Chanan explaining the pasuk says, "Kol haposuk hazeh l'shiurim nema." The entire pasuk was said regarding hilchos shiurim. Each one of the 7 fruits mentioned in that pasuk is to teach us a halacha regarding shiurim. So how could you tell me that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Asked the Gemara, when the pasuk is teaching us hilchos shiurim. So first, before we get into the sugya, I want to repeat something that Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings down in the Sefer Shiurim Shel Torah. He quotes a Tshuvas Hagoyim. The Tshuvas Hagoyim says, why did the Torah give us shiurim for all the mitzvahs and other in taharis and averis in the size of fruits or bayim eggs? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that fruits and eggs are available wherever we go, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that unfortunately Klal Yisrael will be going into Golus, and since he knew that Klal Yisrael would go into Golus, he wanted to give us the shiurim in measurements of things that will always be available to us. Fruits and eggs will always be available. Extrapolates from this the Sefer Shiurim Shel Torah a gewaldige chiddush l'halacha. We know that when we come to speak about shiurim, many times we say shiurim niskatnu, that what is an olive, what we see as the size of an olive, wasn't the size of an olive b'mei chazal. But according to this, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically, as the Tshuvas Hagoyim says, gave us the shiurim and things that are available, because he knew we were going to go into Golus, if what we have isn't what's right, so what's the point? So perhaps from here we have a raya that we can't follow the size of fruits or eggs that are available to us here and now. Also from here we would have a raya that we don't have to follow the size of fruits from Eretz Yisrael, we could follow the size of fruits wherever we are. The Mefarshim also explain, say it over in the name of the Chazan Ish, that the part of the point of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us here was that the chshivas of Eretz Yisrael is not for its great fruits. The chshivas of Eretz Yisrael evolves around ruchnius, that even the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, what make them special, because they have ruchnius ramifications that are used for the shurim of mitzvahs. There's an interesting Tshuva Chassam Sofer. Rav Shlomo Kluger asked the Chassam Sofer that perhaps, so what's our Gemara's Kasha? That, what are you telling me that Shurim Aloch L'Moshim Sinai, we see that the Shurim Amidaraisa? So he says, perhaps what the Aloch L'Moshim Sinai asked Rav Shlomo Kluger to Chassam Sofer is to teach us that we should not say Rubik Kekulim. Usually we follow Roy, we usually follow the majority. So perhaps the Aloch L'Moshim Sinai here told us that don't follow the majority. Don't say that if you have Roiv of a Kazayas, where you need a Kazayas, it's enough. Halach L'Mash Mitzinah teaches us you need the whole Kazayas. So now I have a point why I need Halach L'Mash Mitzinah. The Gemara's question is answered. So Chassam Sofer answered Rav Shlomo Kluger a Gevalda Gateretz. He said that when do we say Rubik Kekula? Rubik Kekula we say is that when we start with a whole item and we say Roiv is adequate. He gives two examples. Let's say we have a Bezdin. So you have the quorum of the Bezdin, and Rubik Kekula says if Roiv passed in one way, that's like they all passed in that way. Or if you need a minion, you need 10 people, and 6 didn't daven. So Rubik Kekula tells us that 6 is like, Roiv is Kekula, like you have a whole minion. But when you don't have the right amount to start off with, let's say you didn't start off with a Kazayas, only start off with Roiv Kazayas, there you can't say Rubik Kekula. Bechidish, but a very nice teretz. Another teretz I saw in the Achrayinim is that a lot of the shurim affect hanoh, when I have hanoh. So let's say to be chayiv for eating macholos asuris, you have to eat a kazayas. So chazal, what is the Torah, whoever is saying it, teaching us? What they're teaching us is that you only have hanoh by kazayas. And that, since you have hanoh b'kazayis, that's when you're over the aveira. Rubik Kekula cannot tell us that we had hanoh when you had roiv. Roiv isn't the amount that you need to have hanoh, and the aveira is based on the hanoh. So now the Gemara starts to teach us what every word of the pasuk teaches. What every word of the pasuk, what halacha is it referring to? Chita, what is the word chita we teach us? L'chitnaf, what we learned. Hanichnas l'bayis ha'menuga. If somebody goes into a house that was afflicted by tzaras. So, the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is that there are two psukim regarding somebody going into such a house. It says, v'habol abayis. If you come into the house, as soon as you come into the house, you're tummy. But there's another pasuk that says, v'oichel abayis, that only if you're in the house, the amount of time it takes to eat. So what is the amount? As soon as you walk in, or if you're there for a little while. So the Mishnah Masechet Nagoyim says like this: Hanichnas l'bayis ha'menuga. If somebody goes into the house that has a neg in it, the kelev al kseifov, and he's carrying his garments, the santala v'talvayis biyodav, and he's carrying his rings or his shoes. He's not wearing them. Hu v'heim tamei miyad. Since these articles are not being worn, they're like objects or people that enter a bayis ha'menuga, which contract tumah immediately. However, how you lavish kelev if he's wearing his garments, the sandalis baragel, his shoes are on his feet, the taboisav at spoisav, and he's wearing his rings, who tumah miyad? He's immediately tumah. The hain tahirim, but those things are tumah. Only ach yish bechtei chilas pras. Only in the amount of time it takes to eat a pras, and we'll see what that means in a second. They're not, because since they're not contracting tumah from the house independently, but they're only contracting tumah as the result of the tumah which applies to somebody who wears an object, which is only effective after he lingers in the house. How much time is that? The amount of time to eat a chelas pras, a type of a half a loaf of bread. What type of bread? Pas chitin, bread made out of wheat, v'loy pas sorim, but not made out of barley. Masiv, if he eats it while he's reclining, so he eats it quickly. V'oichel b'liftin, together with relish, that makes you eat it quicker. So the word wheat is in the pasuk is teaching us that wheat bread is to be used in measuring the duration of a time that a person must remain in a house that has tzaras in order to contract the more severe tumor that extends to clothing he's wearing. Now, the Rishonim argue First of all, how much is a pras that a person uses? Rashi says that it's the shear of Arba Bayim. The Rambam says it's the shear of Sholosh Bayim. The Shulchan Aruch brings down both Shittas, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins that Lahalocha, by a Deraisa, we should go after the Machmer, and by the Rabbanan, we should go after the Mekel. The Chasam Sofer explains that this shear could be defined into moments. As we know, there are a lot of different shittas. He says that it's 9 minutes, and it's a steady shear that doesn't change according to who the person is or what he's wearing. Not like the Minchas Chinuch that says it depends on the person. Some people eat quicker and some people eat smaller. Rather, the Chasam Sofer says it's a standard shear under all circumstances. There's a very interesting machloikis, Reb Chaim Briska, in the Chazon Ish, regarding this Gemara. He says, they ask the following shaila. Let's say somebody was wearing his ring, so he's wearing it, but he didn't walk in to the house. He only stuck his hand into the house with his ring on his hands, on his fingers. Does that ring have the halacha like somebody who's carrying a ring, or does that have a halacha like somebody's wearing a ring, which we just learned in the Gemara as a nafka mina? Rav Chaim Briska says that it will have the halacha like somebody wearing the ring. He says that the Torah HaKadosh says that if the ring is being worn, that it makes no difference if the person is in the house or not. Once the ring is being worn in the normal manner, the halacha is that he has the din of a ring that's worn. Chazon Ish disagrees, and he holds that the ring is, the reason a ring being worn has this chumer de getuma is because it's attached to the person. So if the person doesn't go into the house, the ring cannot have the din different than the person, and then the ring will have a din like somebody carrying a ring. There's another interesting Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi was asked, what is the halacha if two people are approaching a door? One is wearing talis and tefillin, and the other one is carrying talis and tefillin. Which person should be allowed to walk into the door first? So the Beis Halevi says that the person carrying the talis and tefillin should go on first. He says, because a person wearing talis and tefillin, based on the Gemara we just learned, what you wear becomes bottled to the person, and so they're not independent anymore. Person carrying the talis and tefillin remain independent items, which are dvarim shebe kedusha, and should therefore be carried in. The Imre Emes explains, now we understand why Pesach by night we're supposed to eat the matzah b'seiva, leaning. He says, because since the halacha is v'chaltem oisah b'chipazon, the matzah was supposed to be eaten quickly, and Al Gemara just said that when is something eaten quickly, when you eat it in a leaning position, in a reclining position, so since we want to eat the matzah Pesach by night b'chipazon, so that's why we should eat b'seiva. And with that, the Mefarshim explain a Mishnah Masech to Pesachim. The Mishnah Masech to Pesachim says, interesting Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Afila onisha b'Yisrael lo yoichel ad sheyesef." Even the poorest person should not eat Pesach by night until he reclines. So Mefarshim ask, of course he has to recline. Why is he different than any other Jew? But now we can understand. Since a poor person normally doesn't have a lot to eat in ancient times, so as soon as he got something to eat, he ate it immediately. He did not wait to recline. So the Mishnah is saying, so maybe I would think that this oni could be mekayim chipazoin, even without reclining, and he has no need to recline, because the only reason reclining is to do chipazoin, and he's going to be able to accomplish chipazoin anyway. Teaches us the Mishnah that no, there are other reasons for haseba. It's also because of derecheiros, and therefore even the poor person who can do chipazoin without haseba should still do haseba. The next word in the pasuk was soira, a barley. What is a barley? That not etzem kasoira. We learned in the Mishnah that a bone the size of a barley, metamba b'maga b'masa, gives of tumah for somebody carrying it or somebody touching it, v'ainu matam ba'oil. But there is no tumas masa through tumas oil when there's only its etzem kasoira. Geffen, the next thing in the Mishnah was grape. Why we learned it from that? K'day revis yayin l'nozer. That a nozer is not allowed to eat grapes or drink wine. So the word wine is teaching us that a nozer is not a drink or revis wine. Tosfos, however, that's Rashi's pshat in this, and Tosfos disagrees. He says, why? Because all the other fruits mentioned are measures regarding something else. In other words, when we spoke about chita, it wasn't for teach us a halacha and bread, it was to teach us a halacha regarding bayis hamanuga. When we spoke about barley, it wasn't a halacha and barley, it was a halacha regarding bones. Here, Geffen is teaching us about wine itself, which is unique amongst all these seven fruits and would not be consistent with all the other halachas. Therefore, Tosfos has a different pshat in the Gemara. The halacha is that a nozer is also not allowed to eat grape products, the leaves, the grapes. Now, how much is he not allowed to eat? He's not allowed to eat the amount that will displace a revius. Now, when you measure that, there's a difference in how much will displace a revius of wine versus how much will displace a revius of water. Since wine is a heavier liquid, there's more surface tension. So Taisa says that's what Pshat in the Pasuk is. That when measuring how much displaces a revius, use wine as the liquid that has to be displaced, not water. Taina, the next thing that's mentioned is figs. For the halacha of Gregor's Leitzor Shabbos, the size of a dried fig is the minimum amount of food which you chay for carrying on Shabbos. Pnei Yeshua says that we, in Masechta Shabbos that we just finished learning, use the sheer Gregor's for many malachas. Says the Pnei Yeshua that all the times we learned about a Gregor's regarding all other malachas, that was certainly never a halachal mashmasin or a derais. That was certainly with Rabbanan. The only time that it has a basis in the Torah is only regarding carrying. Also, the Sfas Emes interestingly points out that Te'en is the only fruit that the halacha is that we follow a dried amount, a dried fruit. And all the other fruits in the Pasuk, we use a regular fruit, and explains because really we should always use a dried fruit. But since dried fruits, the other peiros are not usually eaten dried, so we don't follow that amount. Here, taina, figs, was something that was eaten dried, so we follow the dried amount. Remind, the next thing is pomegranates. Regarding what is pomegranates, ketnan, kol kelibatem, shurim grimonim. The halacha is that if a tamei diga vessel gets broken, it's no longer tamei. But what is considered broken? So a vessel that's being used by a manufacturer, the halacha is that as soon as it has any break, it's tahar, because a manufacturer cannot sell a broken vessel. But especially in those times, people at home didn't just dispose of broken vessels. So only if it has a hole the size of a pomegranate is it considered sufficiently broken that it would not be used anymore. So that's where Rimonim are relevant. Tosfos interestingly points out that that's only regarding Kli Eitz. Do we say that the shear is the size of a pomegranate? But when it comes to Kli Cheres, there the shear is a Kezayis. Eretz Zay Shemen, that the pasuk continues, Eretz Shekol Shira Kesesim, that the shear in Eretz Yisrael, that the shear is always a Kezayis. Ask the Gemara, is the shear that we follow always a kezayis? Didn't we just learn, we just learned a number of halachas that the shear wasn't a kezayis? Eretz shiroif shura kezayisim, a land where most of the shurim are kezayis. So the Tzlach asks, why is Eretz included here? The shear of a kezayis, for all the halachas that we follow, that shear has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. So why is the word Eretz connected here? So therefore, in fact, the Rishash changes the gears to the Gemara, and he says, Eretz shekol shiureha kizeseha. a land that all the shurim in the Torah are because they sell like the olives of Eretz Yisrael, to avoid this question. But there's a halachic extrapolation from the Rishash. That means we have to follow the zayas of Eretz Yisrael, not the zayas of anywhere else. Eretz shekol shiureha, that all the shiurim of the Torah are kizaysel, are like the olives of Eretz Yisrael. So if there will be a difference in size according to the Rishash between the kizaysim of Eretz Yisrael and the kizaysim of somewhere else, according to Rishash, we'll have to follow the zayas of Eretz Yisrael. The tzlach gives a different answer, a very interesting answer. He says like this, regarding what is the shear of a kazayis relevant? It's relevant that if somebody did an aver b'shoigig, he has to bring a carbon. If he ate machalos asuris more than a kazayis, he's mechoyev malchus. He says, only in Eretz Yisrael could you bring a carbon, because you need the base of Mikdash. And only in Eretz Yisrael could you get malchus, because you have to have a bezdin that somach that has smicha, and such batei dinim only exist in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Eretz, the shiurim of a kazayis, are most relevant in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out here, one of the things that the shiur of kazayis is relevant to is regarding dam. And if somebody drinks dam, the shiur is a kazayis. Now the mefarshim discuss, will that be the shiur? Kazayis is the shiur of a solid. Will that be the shiur even if somebody drinks dam when it's a liquid? Tvash, the next thing that was mentioned was date honey. Regarding what is that? Kikisovis hagas liyom kippurim. That if somebody eats a large date, that's the minimum amount of food which you also to eat midarais on yom kippur. So we see that they're all the shurim are in the Torah. So we go back to the beginning of the sugya where the Gemara said that the shurim are Allah l'mosh m'sinai. Answered the Gemara, "Tizbar shurim michtechtive." Do you really think that the shurim are written? Ela hilchasininu. They're really halach l'mosh m'sinai. V'smechinu rabbanu nakra. The pasuk that we're bringing is just support, but not that's what the pasuk is. What the pasuk is really teaching us. There's a very interesting kasha that Mefarshim asked. There's a similar Gemara to the Gemara we just learned in Masechta Brachos, but there the Gemara ends with a little different lashon. Ela d'rabbanan inhu, that the shurim ad-rabbanan v'smechinu rabbanan akra, and the pasuk is just an asmachta. There's a very big difference. Our Gemara is saying that shurim are halach l'mosh m'sinai. That Gemara is saying that shurim ad-rabbanan. What is it? So Mefarshim Sefer Yad Binyamin answers like this. The Torah, there is a halach l'mosh m'sinai, and that's what Al Gamar means, he says, that there's a shear of a kazayis, there's a shear of kedei achilas pras, there's a shear of a sa'ira. But these shearim were just given to apply which halach l'mosh m'sinai, but to apply which shear should be used for which mitzvah or for which aveira, that's the rabbanim. So Al Gamar is referring to the concept. The concept of kazayis and halach l'mosh m'sinai. The Gemara in Brachos that says it's the Rabbanan says that Chazal had the power and they utilized that power to take that shear of kazayis and apply it to dam. They take that shear of Sa'ira and they apply it to Tumas Maga Masa. Then we said in Amun Aleph that Chatzitzin, the halacha of a Chatzitza, is halach l'mosh m'sinai. Ask the Gemara, Chatzitzin d'araisa ninu, is Chatzitza d'araisa? Chatzitza d'araisa. The Brisa says a person should bathe his entire body in water. There's nothing allowed to be anything into being a chitzitza between his body and the water. But mayim, what is my mayim? But my mikvah. Kol b'saroi, mayim shakal gufa oil behen. Enough water for his whole body to enter at one time. V'kamahim, how much is that? Amal ama, the amount of water that fills up an ama and ama. With Barum Gimel Amos by the height of 3 Amos. For sure, Chum Chazal established the main mikveh mem saw, that a mikveh is 40 saw. So it's a deraisa. Answers the Gemara, Kiyasra Hilchasa, what is the halacha l'mosh m'sinai? L'sorahi. For the halacha about chatzitz on the hair, ukudurav barafuna. Dom rav barafuna, nima achas kishura, if one hair is knotted, chatzitz, it's a chatzitz. Shalosh, because the water can't get through. Shalosh, if three hairs are knotted together, ain't a chatzitzah. It's not a chatzitzah. Shtayim, if two hairs are knotted, ain't a yedeya. Ask the Gemara, Sara Nami the Raisa who? The halacha regarding hair is also the Raisa. The Tanya, Verachas called Besaroi. S, since the Pasuk adds the word S, which means Hatofel Besaroi, the thing that's auxiliary to the skin. What is that? Vizaseir. So the halacha about a chatzitz in the hair is Midaraisa. Answers the Gemara, Kiyosi Hilchasa. What does Allah Lamash Messinai come to teach us? Lumrubai Lumayutai, regarding the majority of the and the minor, lemakpidlish and makpid, the part that bothers the person doesn't bother the person. And the Gemara explains, Krab Yitzchak. Dom Rav Yitzchak, Devatar Midaraisa, Ruba Makpidalov Chaitz. The only time somebody is a chatzitza is if it covers the majority and the person objects to the thing being there. V'she'en a makpidalov, but if it doesn't, if the person doesn't object to it, ain't a chaitz. However, V'gazru Chazal taught us, Aruba she'en a makpid, that something that covers the majority, even though he's not makbid, that it's considered chatzitza mishum rubai hamakbid. Furthermore, for miyutai hamakbid, Chazal said that if it's a miyut but he's makbid on it, it's considered chatzitza mishum rubai hamakbid. Ask the Gemara, v'ligzun nami amiyutai shenim makbid, why don't we make exer that even if it's a miyut and even if he's not makbid, it should be osur mishum miyutai hamakbid, because you may confuse that with a situation where there's a miyut hamakbid, or inami we should be geyser on a rubish, and or also we should make exer because it may be rubish and a makbid. And says the Gemara, heguf exera. The whole halacha of rubish and a makbid or miyut hamakbid is only midrabbanan. For anan nik v'nik zegzera l'gzera, we don't make zeras to enforce rabbanan diga halachas. That's what the halacha l'mash Sinai is teaching us. So here we just finished learning about Rubai and Makbid and Rubai Shein and Makbid. So Rashi explains the Gemara that this halacha of Rubai and Makbid and Rubai Shein and Makbid is only regarding the hair. On the hair, Midaraisa to be a chatzitza has to be Rubai and Makbid. Drabonon, Rubai Shein and Makbid or Miyatam Makbid is also an issue. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. What about the body? Taisa says that according to Rashi, very bechidish, Rashi will hold, Taisa says, that on the body there will be any chatzitza, any size, any circumstance will be a chatzitza. The only time we make differences is on the hair. That's how Rashi learns. The Tshuvas HaGa'onim disagree. They learn that the halacha is that a person's body and a person's hair are each viewed as separate entities. That means, on the body, there's a halacha of Rubai HaMakbid, Midarais is a chatzitza, Rosh Eina Makbid, Mir HaMakbid Midrabonon, and if it's Mir Eina Makbid, then it's Mutter, and here there's such a halacha. Now the only shaila in the Ga'onim is what is considered here. Some Paiskim explained that the Ga'onim said their halacha only regarding the hair on the head. All other hair in the body is considered auxiliary to the body. Other Paiskim say that the Ga'onim look at each collection of hair as a separate area. So there'll be a din, the din will apply to the hair on the head, then there'll be hair in the other areas of the body. Every area of hair will have its own qualification of Rubai HaMakbid being a deraisa and the other cases being drabonon or mutter. Others want to say that the hair on the body will certainly not be considered hair because that's bottled to the body. And there's an interesting Avni Nezer that says according to the Ga'onim, the teeth should maybe be considered a separate area also, because the Pasuk is teaching us S, anything that's subordinate to the body. So the teeth are also not part of the body, they're subordinate to the body, and therefore it's separate. The Rambam's psak is that we combine the body and the hair, and when we look at Rubai HaMakbid, we could look at the entire person, his head and his body as one, and Rubai Shein HaMakbid, Rubai HaMakbid, all is separate issues. Now, the next Gemara, Mechitzos, the Rice and the New. How are you telling me that Mechitzos, the Halacha partitions is Halacha Moshe Sinai, it's the Rice Domamar? The Gemara in Masechta Sukkah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he will come to the top of the Aron and speak to him. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Hashemayim Shemayim LaShem, Va'aretz Nosan L'Bnei Adam." Hakadosh Baruch Hu and us people are in separate areas. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is in the Shemayim, and we're in the Aretz. So how can Hakadosh Baruch Hu come into our domain? So the Gemara says, the Aron we know was a tefa, it was an am and a half tall. So Aron is Tisha. So Aron was 9 tefachim, Amma being 6 tefachim, half an Amma is 3, 6 plus 3 is 9. There was a Kapyrus, which was a tefach, is 10. Harei Kanasara. So it's considered a separate area. The top of the Aron is already above 10 tefachim. And from here we see that a partition is 10 tefachim. So I don't need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai to teach us. I need it from the pasuk. Answer the Gemara. You know why we need to teach this halacha l'moshe Sinai? According to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda said, Amos binyan ba'amah b'ashisha. That were used for building the Mishkan and Amos 6 tefachim. However, Amos kelim ba'amah b'ashamisha. The kelim we use an Amos 5 tefachim. So we used an Amos 5 tefachim. So the Aron being a tefa, being an Amos and a half, was 7.5 tefachim tall. And even if we add a tefach on top of the kaparis, it's only 8.5. So I don't have a source for a mechitza being 10 tefachim. However, ask the Gemara, Lamei the Amah Kol Amos Hayu Bebeninus, that they always use the 6 tefach Amah, Michael Amema. I'm back to where I started. I don't need the halacha l'moshe m'sinai to teach me that a halachic wall, a halachic partition is 10 tefachim. I already know it from the Aron. And to the Gemara, Lerav Meir, according to Meir, Kiyasi Hilchasa, what is the halacha come to teach us? The halacha of good, that we could extend on a wall up or down, that even if a wall doesn't reach the floor, or the wall doesn't reach what's on top of it, we extend it up. We'll talk about this halacha many times. Lelovid, the halacha is that there's only a less than three tefach gap, it's considered closed. Lodof Nakuma, the halacha that we spoke about yesterday regarding sukkah, that if you have between the schach and the wall less than 4 amos of something that's not kosher for schach, the sukkah is still a kosher. That's what the halacha l'moshe m'sinai comes to teach us.